to remind you to reduce your risk of breast cancer with a regular mammogram, starting at age 40. If you've delayed your healthcare due to COVID-19, don't let something routine like a mammogram become something serious like breast cancer. Questions? Contact Thibodeau Regional Cancer Center at 985-493-4008. Thibodeau Regional, the region's leader in breast cancer care.
How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply lets you pick your favorites from your best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisition for My Doula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, "I love that feature because I have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates." Try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/BART. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
More details at AutoZone.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
It's going to come down to the end for this Dallas Cowboy team. In my opinion, they're going to run away with this division. They're going to get a really good seeding in the playoffs, and they're going to be one of those teams that people who were sitting around waiting for the bottom to fall out over the last couple of years are going to probably have to eat their words. They are a really good football team. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
Key, J, and Max, mornings on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is hour number two. Head coach Tim Rebo of the Colonels. Next segment, Frank Selfo. Before the top of the hour, head coach Willie Fritz. Bottom of the hour. Coming up in hour number three, Eric Alexander will go over the Ole Miss LSU game and a look ahead at the bye week for the Tigers. After that, it's Alabama. Hey, a pair of wins last night. How about that? In New Orleans, there was basketball to be played, and the Pels got a win there. Saints also getting a win yesterday, as we've been focusing on that in hour number one here as well. Head coach Sean Payton, I'm telling you, to me, it might be the cuts of cuts.
That's a sign of a team that eventually you know how to win and to win and to win and to win, and that becomes everything.
So they've dealt with a ton of adversity, being away for 5 weeks or a month or whatever it was. Injuries left and right. Finally get your starting lineup back. Eric McCoy back at center. Could you see the difference? Teron Armstead and then Andres Pete, though, per Ian Rappaport, suffers a torn pec. That is the preliminary diagnosis. Waiting MRI results. That was this morning. The team's on an airplane. They're scheduled to land somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock here. So they stayed in Seattle overnight. But that's where we are. It looks like Throckmorton, likely, per that report, will be your left guard. So we'll discuss that. 800-998-1003. Question of the day. You know how this is. After a game, I need a game ball, pat on the back, and who needs to have a seat with coach? Right now, is it Tre'Quan Smith? Like, solely? I still can't get over the Marcus Williams play. I love the guy every now and then. He'll make the play, and I will get in arguments with people. Maddie, you name it, people. He's great. He's one of the best safeties in the league. And then you'll see a play like that. That's my thing. He's not a good tackler. He had the angle, and the guy stutter-stepped and slowed down instead of going at the speed he was going when he got to the point and go through Metcalf and P-laid him out of bounds. He didn't. Other than that play, though, the blue-haired wonder boy, who did a lot of talking yesterday in that game, caught one more ball. 5 total targets, 2 receptions. So congratulations on that for all of the talk. I'm sorry. I don't know. Yesterday was tough. It was like part of me, like the fan, just the officiating was absolutely dreadful. I don't know what to say. The officiating was absolutely dreadful. Head coach Sean Payton.
We knew kind of it was going to be that type of game. I thought, you know, there was a couple drives where they got extended a little bit because of penalties. We knew that crew was calling the most coming into this game by far, both on offense and defensive fouls. And sure enough, you know, I don't know what the totals were, but there were a lot of fouls called. And that was kind of on par with where they're at. They're first of 17. So, you know, we'll get a chance to look at them.
One of those calls was the DeMario Davis, Marcus Davenport roughing call. So Sean Payton after the game was asked about that play, which was absolutely not roughing the passer. Oh, listen to this.
Yeah, his was not roughing the passer. It was a helmet to helmet on the pass rush. So I don't think anyone was looking for that. And Sean explained it, and certainly I wasn't looking for it either. But that's what the foul was.
Where was the helmet to helmet? Anybody? 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Send me a picture. Where was the helmet to helmet? I didn't see it. Like, where was it? And as far as the Metcalf thing goes, look, and I get it. Gus, you can't be complaining because we had a player sort of like that with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets in everybody's head. He's not routinely grabbing the opposing player's face masks, slapping them on the helmet. I don't know if he is. Maybe I'm forgetting because it's on our side. But I saw at least two illegal hands to the face. Am I wrong? I just think that, look, Head coach Sean Payton, after the game, was asked, if that kind of stuff, though, I mean, you've got, what, two or three 15-yarders? At what point are you like, okay, look, that's going to hurt us? And I love his answer here. Listen.
Yeah, because you don't want to bring 140 people to Seattle from New Orleans and lose because it gets away from you. You know, you're everyone's counting on everyone, and I get it. You know, you want to be competitive, but I think that's a sign of a team that. Eventually, you know how to win and to win and to win and to win, and that becomes everything. That becomes everything. More important than anything else, it's leaving with another win. And, you know, it's a young team. We're still, you know, preaching that message, but pretty soon you expect it. But then there's certain things, you know, I've been in tight playoff games where personal fouls like that, I mean, Everyone's counting on you. No different than ball security, really. We're counting on, you know, if you're holding the ball, if you've got the, everyone's counting on you.
Adam Trautman. You think that was towards Adam Trautman? I love what he's saying there, though, right? Is he understands there's going to be things in the game. That's understandable. At the same time, you have to understand, you know, you got to hope it doesn't hurt you. And hope the best that happens is that it doesn't. Cam Jordan had this to say after the game when he was asked about the whole Metcalf Lattimore thing.
I think, how do I PC this one? I think that, you know, when they're trying to create a tougher identity than what they are, that's where you get a lot of more chippery talk. But again, we go back to our basics. We play the football that we want to play. And I think it takes care of itself. We still had a lot of penalties and we can clear that up. And that could have ended up hurting us more than it did.
Look, I think one of those things that you watch and you see and it just kind of, you had to deal with it. I don't know. I don't know how else to look at it. The officials were just going to call it a certain way and, you know, you had to deal with it. The defense still getting 5 sacks. Cam Jordan getting his first sack of the season.
I mean, I think that, you know, once Marcus came back, he showed a lot of power off the edge. I mean, we took advantage where we could, and sort of became a sack party. I think Double D cleaned up, but he had like 2 or 3 sacks by the end of the night too. Crucial. You know, we're going to put him on some, rice grip work. But that's for another reason.
All right. So, look, when you take a look at the stats, first off, those penalties, 7 for 90, it felt like more, and definitely at times extended drives made that game a little bit closer here. When you look at the defense, though, I said this last week, that I thought this next quarter of the season, the defense was going to have to lead the way because Michael Thomas was still not ready, and you were hoping that you want to get your offensive line in, and then you got to get into the rhythm and then start getting into whatever. I think it's just time to say this, right? The New Orleans Saints will be a playoff team or not, depending on their defense. I mean, what I'm saying is that it's going to carry them. The offense is going to determine whether or not they get in or not. They're going to have to make some plays. DeMario Davis was an absolute monster. 10 tackles, 7 solo, 2 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, a pass defense, 3 quarterback hits. I legitimately don't know what to say about that guy. The guy was a man amongst boys at times yesterday. Just unbelievable effort by DeMario Davis.
Man, I just love the way he leads, the way he plays with enthusiasm. He's really developed into not just run, but pass as well. You know, he's someone that has good instincts, can close the cushion on a run or a play in space. He tackles well. He's playing well. And I'm sure when we look at the tape tomorrow, we'll see a lot of good efforts. This is a good hard-fought win. It's tough.
Indeed. Very good hard-fought win. And, again, finding a way to pull out the victory. And that's all you can hope for. That's all you can hope and want. Quick break. We come back. Scheduled to speak with head coach Tim Rebo. Head coach Willie Fritz will be here in person as we're live at Yulman Stadium. Basketball media day. We spoke with head coach Lisa Stock. They'll try to get Ron Hunter here next hour here as well. Plenty to get into, including Frank Selfo at 1:45 as well. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak with Coach Rebo next on ESPN New Orleans.
Big win for Slidell, a big win for the whole North Shore, and it's called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. This $325 million project will have a positive impact on our community. It's a fact. In cities with resorts like this one, jobs go up, home values rise, and the economy booms. And think about this. All the money that goes to Mississippi casinos now will stay right here and turn into millions for us. Winner! Millions to fix flooding. Millions to build a new sports complex for East St. Tammany. And millions for our roads, our schools, our safety. See what we've got planned for Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Get more details and find answers to all your questions at thenorthshorewinds.com. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-446. 3333. I'm Matt Ory.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners, and thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Each and every Tuesday, we speak with the winning head football coach of your Nichols Colonels, Tim Rebo. Coach, how are you, sir?
Hey, good evening, Gus. How are we doing today?
Doing fantastic. How Tuesday's always better when you get a little victory, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought the weather was a little better when I got home Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The food tasted a little better, everything.
Well, sir, when you put up 44 points, it only gave up 14, and it's on the road. That's not a bad thing, especially when you take a look at kind of some of the things that you had touched about, too. Just, you know, the travel that you had the week before, two straight road games. It kind of showed you a little bit about your team, huh? Two straight losses, wanted to kind of nip it in the bud there, huh?
Yeah, listen, you guys know, and everybody's been talking about it all day, from the game last night on Monday Night Football. Do you know how hard it is to win and win on the road?
Right.
It doesn't matter what level it is. You got to go, and it's just different. And our guys had a good trip. And the other thing that we dealt with on this one, which is, hey, I'm so proud of our guys. We had a 6 o'clock late kickoff, so you're in the hotel all day. And then, oh, by the way, when you get there, it's another lightning delay. And our guys really handled it well and came out. We came out, started fast, and never looked back.
Coach, one thing that obviously is always difficult is, as you mentioned, having those games on the road, trying to bounce back and trying to get going in the right direction. What was sort of the mindset going into that game, and did you get a sense and feel that week at practice? I know a lot of times coaches say, we could tell this week at practice we're going to have a good game. Did you get that sense?
I did get a sense because our guys feel like they left something on the field the week before, where
okay.
We didn't play well in the second half against UIW. And the whole thing is, you know, you're not just going to go win the game on Saturday. You got to win it on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We had a good week of practice. The guys were focused. We didn't have a lot of distractions. So I thought that was a good thing. And then the other thing we were facing, Gus, me and you spoke about it, is everybody kept saying, hey, how's it going to be? You're playing a team for the second time.
Right.
You know, even though you beat them, I thought our guys handled that well. They, you know, took the game plan and really executed it as well as we could be expected.
You know, every single Tuesday, we always normally end our conversation with, give me your keys to victory. Now, I always tell you, you know my key, quick starts. I always like quick starts. Coach, when you put up 27 points in the first quarter, that's a nice quick start.
You know, the crazy thing about the game is our first two possessions ended in turnovers in that first quarter. We drove down to the one-yard line, and we had a tip ball. And they intercepted it, so we get no points out of that. And then the next thing you know, you get a turnover on a fumble. Unfortunately, we had our running back get hurt on the play.
Mm-hmm.
He fumbled. They got the ball. Defense did a good job of getting a stop and keeping them off. But the thing, Gus, we talked about the turnovers, and it worked in our favor. I know the turnovers were 2-2, but in that first quarter with a couple of big interceptions and actually defense taking one of them back for a touchdown. So that was a really, really big positive for us.
Speaking with head coach Tim Rebo, as we do on Tuesdays, as Colonels getting a win last week at HBU, 44-14. Look, obviously the 44 points stands out, but at the same time you limited them to 14. Did it help playing them a second time to kind of know how to handle it on defense, or just this game your defense stood up?
We were really pleased with the defense. Coach Wright backing them did a really good job. And when you look at the stats, and we held them to less than 160 yards of offense.
Right.
And actually one of the touchdowns was a kickoff return. So it was actually on special teams we gave up. And then the other touchdown was on a fourth down. We had a chance to get off the field on fourth down, and we didn't do it. So defense really, really did a good job. I think a big key and a big stat is, we held them to no explosive plays. And when you can do that against anybody, you know, you don't give up the big run or you don't give up the big pass, you're going to have a chance to be successful.
Look, I'm trying to think whether it's high school, playing a team that has no wins or whatever. 8 rushing yards? Have you ever been in a game where somebody didn't have double-digit numbers in rushing? I mean, 8 single digits, Coach?
No, that was kind of crazy. You know, you always factor, you have a couple sacks and you have a couple TFLs, but mm-hmm. still a team is going to get some positive yards at some point. But it did help too that, you know, we were up and they fell behind a little bit, and they had to try to chunk it around. And you know, they changed their game plan sort of. They had a different quarterback in there than the first time we played them. Mm-hmm. I think they were down a few running backs. So that, you know, that kind of helped and maybe contributed to that factor.
Anything else stand out to you that you want to kind of bring up there to fans? I mean, look, over 500 yards of offense. We just touched on the way the defense sort of played there as well. Kind of one of those complete games. Any love for the special teams?
Yeah, you know, the special teams did good. You know, I thought we really kicked the ball, the punter well. We had some good coverage. We really did. We had just one bonehead play on that kickoff return that, you know, you hate to see happen that we got to be able to fix. But, yeah, I think there was a lot of positives on the special teams. And I think another positive you can take out of a game like this, and we touched on it Sunday at our practices, you know, a lot of guys got to play, and some young guys got some significant playing time and had some sacks and had some tackles and had some catches. And we took a freshman, Jake Delmato, a running back, and he had a good night for us after we lost one. So that's going to help you moving forward, some of those guys getting that game experience and having some success in those games.
Well, Coach, I play a meteorologist every now and then during the show, and I can tell you you're going to have some nice winds on Friday, tomorrow, you know, a little rain Thursday, but Saturday should be absolutely magnificent. High noon as you take on Northwestern State back home at Guidry Stadium. So have to be happy about that. Should be a nice crowd. Nice weather is here. But, look, this is another one of those games, right? You look at Northwestern State and you go, the Demons, they're record-wise, they're 1-6. You don't look at that, do you, Coach?
Well, first of all, me and you need to get together because I think I play meteorologist. I don't have the title, but I have to do it all the time. You know, try to dodge in the weather in practice. And
yep.
We'll welcome a little rain on Wednesday to get them cooler temperatures for this weekend. It's a noon kickoff. It's homecoming for us, so there's some activities. We had a big pep rally last night. It was good for our players to go to, and the whole athletic department was there. So we got a lot happening this week, but the main thing's got to be the Demons. And you've mentioned it to me before, a rivalry game, you know, playing for the real NSU trophy. This goes way back before any of us.
Right.
You just got to come out and prepare and play like you're 0-0, like they're 0-0, and try to get this win on Saturday.
So, Coach, I always ask you this as we wrap up our conversation. Key of keys, is it literally just take care of your business and focus on what you can do best, and it will be a good homecoming?
And I think, you know, for offensively for us, we've got to protect that football again, and I think we got to do some of the simple things well. They give you a lot of looks on defense, and so if we can just control the simple things, I think we'll be in good shape. And, again, probably on defense, we're preparing for two quarterbacks. You know, they started another quarterback last week. They're playing, and they got a couple playmakers on. You got to limit those explosive plays again.
At Nichols_FB is the way to follow Nichols football over on Twitter. And, of course, obviously go to the school athletic website, GoKernels.com, each and every Tuesday. And Coach Tim Rebo graciously gives us some time. Thank you so much, Coach, and enjoy the finally fall weather this weekend. Halloween weekend, you dressing up? You doing anything special on Sunday or what?
I hope I'm dressing up as a winning coach on Sunday. How about that?
I like that. We'll take that. Thank you, Coach. We'll talk next week, sir.
Hey, Gus, have a good week. Thank you, man.
For sure. Always a pleasure. It is Halloween weekend. Since taking on the Bucks here as well, hopefully the Pelicans will have a few more wins as well. As again, last night they get that W. 107-98, finally. Head coach Willie Green. I love the atmosphere in the locker room afterwards. Coach had this to say on finally getting the win.
It is it's just an unbelievable feeling to win in the NBA. It's so hard to do. Proud of our group, proud of our guys, our staff, organization, everyone involved. Like, we just continue to stay with it. And, you know, it takes time, but our group responded tonight.
At Pelicans on Twitter, at Pelicans NBA, the official Twitter page, had the video of Willie Green walking in to speak to the team after the game. And as you can imagine.
Hey, bring it in, bring it in, bring it in.
Game ball, baby.
You gotta like that. Lots of water bottles. Lots of water poured on head coach Willie Green.
Together!
look, again, it's early in the season, and you can look at this, you can look at that. You do get a sense and a different feel by how this team sort of reacts and respects head coach Willie Green. That's my take. Garrett Temple presented the game ball to Coach Green there as well. While you've only gotten one win in your first four games, I think you see some things that at the very least kind of lead you to believe, you know what? There might be some differences here. There might be some things that you can see growing here. We talked about the beginning of the season. Look, it was absolutely, it stunk to have Jonas Valanciunas' debut be so terrible. 3-19. I said the next day, that's not going to be him. The guy averages 17 points and 12 rebounds coming into the season. Last night, Valanciunas, 22 points, 23 rebounds. 14 of them came on the defensive end. You know what that means, right? Pels playing defense, get the board. That means no second chance opportunity. That means they miss, you clean it up. It's Pelicans basketball. That's incredible. Two blocks, three assists as well. You just saw his size. Also, here's the other thing. Very rarely do you get bigs that A, are that good offensively and defensively and can shoot free throws. It's something that you may not think about. 8 for 8. 8 for 8 from the free throw line. Not bad. When you think about it from that perspective, here's Jonas on that celebration afterwards.
That was big for us, you know. First one is the toughest one. Especially, I'm happy for the coach. You know, that was his first win as a head coach. So, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for us. We can celebrate. I know one guy said we got to celebrate till midnight. Forget about it. Move on. So, you know, it was great today. We all fought. We all did little things. We played together, but you know, we can't get too excited. Long season ahead of us, and you know, one is not enough. We need more.
No doubt. Brandon Ingram on the locker room celebration.
For the first win, it was good. A bunch of water thrown in there, especially for Willie on his first win, but also celebrating Jonas for his big night tonight. And he was very big for us tonight.
Again, I know it's early. We'll see how they take on, you know, the Hawks and a pretty good team. And we saw them make a run last season here as well. So it's a tough early slate. You just want to see this team continue to grow and to build. And I'm already seeing it in my mentions already in our question of the day, your thoughts on the Pelicans getting their first win of the season. There are a lot of people that are seeing what people the last couple of weeks and months have been seeing. Herbert Jones has come in as a second round pick, and I mean, he is taking on people and defending him. Shamit Dua keeps tweeting throughout the game. He's a straitjacket. Are you watching him grow? The Pelicans have put him on their best players. Yeah, Zach LaVine, Anthony Edwards, and you'll see them cook and you'll see them get hot, and then you see him progressively get better during the game. He's learning as the game goes on. There was a stretch last night, I thought. The game got down to 6. They were up 21 points. Game got down to 6, and you're like, uh-oh. Last year, remember, 14 times they had a lead, double-digit lead, and blew it. This was the first time this season. And no one's really kind of touching on this. This is the first time this season. Here we go, Pel's double-digit lead. It got close, got to single digits. Can you hold on? Trey Murphy got a big board. You saw Herbert Jones defend well. You saw big shots be made by Graham, B.I., I think that was just as big as just getting that first win. You want to get that monkey off the back, get the first win, get going. I get it. But for the guys that were here last year, again, you've had a lot of turnover in the roster. But for the guys that were here last year to be able to close out that game, again, 14 times last season, double-digit leads, you blew it. You're up 21. You were up 21 in that game last night, got down to 6. And they wound up winning. Made a couple of big buckets, big three, defensive stops, rebounds. I mean, again, I know it's one win. You need to build on it. And then, you know, you're waiting for the month of November to come, and Zion Williamson will chime in. Quick break. We come back more as head coach Willie Fritz is making his way over here as well. Frank Selfo will talk to us at 1:45. 2:15, Eric Alexander. The rest of the show is open for you. Looking forward to hearing from you, Saints fans and Pels fans. The Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a given thing. What a terrible
thing. Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ori.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. Sports Hangover here with head coach Willie Fritz. As always on Tuesday, sir, normally we do it on the phone. And then every now and then, you know, they let me in to Yulman Stadium and the Glazer Club. And is this the AD suite? I don't know. It's nice. I like it up here. It is the AD suite. Hey. Can you imagine me as the AD? I don't know if I have the temperament that I was watching the Saints game yesterday, and I'm like, what is going on here? I want to ask you this because you deal with this, obviously, as a head football coach. Officiating. Can't control it. Mm-hmm. Deal with it. I know Sean touched on it last night. He does homework and finds out who's the officiating crew, what do they sort of do. Do you sort of do that as well? No, hey, these guys like to hold a little bit more. They let you play a little bit more. And how does that kind of go into gameplay?
You know, obviously,
game plan.
Well, you know who's going to be the crew, and you look at all the analytics of the crew and mm-hmm. how many holes and you know of DPIs, defense pass interference calls, and you know what they're. I don't want to call them their favorite calls, but with calls they call a little bit more, uh-huh. you know, and you know, it's just, I've always thought, you know, well, what do you do now? You try to get them to interfere mm-hmm. with you a little bit more.
Right.
You know, it's hard to game plan. So you just got to go with it and then do the very best you can, eliminating, you know, pre-snap penalties. Those are the ones that just really get you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, I think you've got to do a great job if you're playing a team and they do something is, you know, we like to send it in to the crew early in the week. You know, if they're, say they're covering up the end man on the line of scrimmage a bunch
right.
and, you know, they're having a lineman downfield on RPOs, which you get a lot of nowadays. You just send that to them and you say, listen, look at this. And, you know, and every once in a while I'll see that situation. You know, from the sideline, I'll yell it out there, hopefully, and you know they'll
right.
notice it. You know, and then you after games, you send in, you know, plays to review that you think they missed, you know, and I think it helps them more than it does me. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you know, they were jumping over the shield, which is illegal to do and mm-hmm. punt when you're punting the ball. You put a shield in front of the punter X number of yards, and, you know, and they made it illegal a few years ago to jump.
Right.
You can't jump over the shield.
And that's for to protect players.
To protect right. players. And you know, they made sure to tell me that they didn't jump over the shield. They were in between. And
sure.
We sent it in, and they said, yeah, we missed those.
Sure enough.
And those are big plays.
Is that,
they're,
is that
they're
the
15
worst?
Yarders. Well, there's nothing you can do about
right.
it. But, you know, you don't want to come – have anything come down to an officiating call
right.
either.
Now, obviously, Coach, I've heard coaches enough say it, and you have to get over calls and things of that nature, and you always never want to say a call determined it one way, shape, or form. Even, obviously, here, famously, the no call in the NFC Championship game. I'm like, well, if you score a touchdown, don't give up touchdowns at the end of the first half and second half. So you can always look back at certain moments on you. But from a coach's perspective, do you ever – have to, how difficult is it to get over, say, there was a really bad call that cost you a point, cost you a touchdown, and it, you know, it's just as hard as a player, I guess is what I'm trying to get at, too, because we tell players, right, you tell players, you got to move on to the next play. To you, sometimes.
Well, you know, sometimes it's difficult. I've been coaching yeah. a long time, so there's been quite a few of those instances, but the big thing we talk about is, you know, control what you can control, which
right.
is the pre-snap. And I also include post-play penalties, you know, the, you know, guys, you know, wanting to show their butt out there after a get play or, you know, getting in a fight or doing something that, you know, contributes to the penalty, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, the referees didn't want to call, you know, the pre-snap calls, you know, a real disciplined team is only going to have about 25% of their calls or less, in the pre-snap variety, you know, offsides, you know, 2 men in motion, whatever the case may be. You know, so, you know, lining up in the neutral zone, illegal procedure. You know, those are mm-hmm. Calls that anybody can make. You know, so we try to really control those as best we can. And you know, because when you get out there, one crew, one particular official may call it a defensive pass interference, and another one won't call it that.
Right.
You know, we call those subjective fouls and you know, those are the ones that, you know, sometimes you're not quite sure about why this crew's calling it that way and another crew isn't. You know, I look like, you know, take for example last game, I thought they kind of allowed both sides to play. There's a lot of hand fighting on deep balls, you know, but they were consistent with it.
Speaking with head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave, we'll get to last week's game and then the upcoming game against Cincinnati. But coach, it's always good to recognize certain moments in sports here as well. 50 years ago, four individuals broke the color barrier here at Tulane in the fall of 1971. And we're going to honor that football team coming up.
You know, I think this is really awesome. You know, they're going to visit with our team on Friday evening. You know, I'd really admire those guys. You know, this is within my lifetime. I don't mm-hmm. know about you, Gus, but, you know, it's just unbelievable that, you know, probably what those guys had to go through, you know, in 1971 and, you know, they're truly pioneers. And I got a chance to sit around and talk with John Washington last Thursday. He came to our hotel there in Dallas. He lives in Dallas and I've talked to Steve Barrios, who you know well, and
yeah.
some other guys that were on the team with those guys. And, you know, it just is, you know, just it's great that, you know, those guys are coming back and being celebrated for doing something that was, you know, groundbreaking and I'm sure very, very difficult to do. And, you know, so I'm very excited about them visiting with our student athletes on Friday evening.
Well, I was born in 1976, so it's kind of all crazy right. to think all that right. just 5 years before that. I mean, that's something you would probably think in the 50s and 60s, not in the 70s.
Well, you know, yeah. I was kind of raised in a little different part of the country, and it was a little bit different, you know. And we happened to be over in Birmingham when they had the 50th anniversary of Sam Bam Cunningham,
right.
USC. On Legion Field, where we were practicing, you know, and we talked to the guys about it and showed them a videotape and just, you know, wanted to make sure they understood, you know, what the history that was made in that particular stadium that we were just practicing at every single day.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, you're back home this weekend. You were at SMU in Dallas and faced a pretty good football team there. They're ranked high. Now your reward is you get to face the number two team in the country going in. Look, Navy gave them a game.
And
when you watch that game and you put it on film, what did the midshipmen do that gave the Bearcats trouble?
What they always do. You know, they were, you know, slowed the game down big time. Mm-hmm. Limited possessions. Recovered an onside kick. Do a good job defensively of, you know, they bend a lot, but they don't break. And they try to get them impatient and mm-hmm. throw the ball someplace where they shouldn't instead of just run the ball for 5 yards. You know, that's you want to get 55 yards, you know.
Right.
And so they made a couple of big plays that way. You know, and then also did a great job of eking out first downs. You know, they've got a formula for success, and they're going to stay in a ball game. There's, you know, you don't see them getting whipped very often.
Right.
You know, it's hard for that to happen with the style of offense and defense that they play. So, they did a very nice job against them. And that's what I showed our guys. We even though there's not a whole lot of similarities to what we do offensively to what they do offensively, it did show them that, you know, hey, man, this is the plan.
All right, so two final things here for you, Head Coach Willie Fritz. How are the batteries in Gaw's stock over here at Tulane? Because I feel like Michael Pratt always has something in his nose or he's bleeding from somewhere as well. So is that one of the keys going to a game like this, is just trying to protect them as much as you can? Or is that just his style of play? I mean, are we just going to come to expect?
A combination of the two. You know, he's a right. tough, hard-nosed competitor. And you know, you always talk about quarterback runs with the ball, you know, touchdown, first down, get down. You know, you're not going to get a touchdown, try to get the first down. You know, you're going to get the first down, get your butt down. And he sometimes doesn't hear the first two parts of that.
I mean, we don't want that to be the media guide picture, right? Next year, where he has some cotton ball coming out of his nose.
He's just a tough kid. You want all your guys to compete like that. He's a winner that's one of the things I've talked to our coaches a little bit about it. And I remember many years ago, I had a quarterback play for me named Michael Bishop. He was mm-hmm. runner-up for the Heisman Trophy and great player. And my coordinator at the time wanted to run quarterback draw. And I said, hey, we call that scramble. There's no reason to put that play in. We already got that. He does it about eight times a game, you know. Right. And we may have to institute that same rule with Michael.
I like that. Look, one of the other things, obviously, Coach, is going to be a topic going into this game, or I guess a key to the game. They got a Heisman candidate. They got a good quarterback. They got an offense that can score 40 and 50 points. You never want to see that. That's happening, you know, a lot this season. What, 3 of the last 7, 5 of the last 7, 40 points. I know it's today's college football where points are going to be scored. You're going to have to get a possession or two, right? Steal it on the defensive side here.
We got to play better. We got to get some takeaways, mm-hmm. you know, and we're not getting takeaways that we need to, you know, we've got to play well all three phases. We don't got to play perfect. I know people are sick of me saying that, but we got to play well. And we played well at spurts in all three phases, but we got to do it consistently over 4 quarters. You know, that's how you have an upset. That's how you win a ball game like this, is you play well in all three phases and you don't beat yourself. And we got to do an excellent job of hanging on to the ball, and we got to be a +2, +3. You know, in turnover takeaway margin. Mm-hmm. Now you give yourself an opportunity to win.
Head Coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave. Don't forget this morning, 11 a.m. kickoff against Cincinnati. You can watch it on ESPN2, but come out to Yulman Stadium and help recognize, really, Charlie Hall, Charles Annis, Robert Johnson, and John Washington as well, right, Coach?
You bet. And I think Robert Johnson's his wife's going to be there, and passed away a few years ago, but it'll be really good to, make sure that we recognize those guys.
Thank you, as always, for your time on Tuesdays.
Thank you, buddy. Roll Wave.
I appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. Head Coach Frank Selfo will chime in for us as well. As the Lions picked up a win over the weekend, we'll talk to him next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
4, 3, 2, 1.
More from your
Bank, open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Max Kellerman.
Justin Fields, how much of the way the Bears are playing is a response to the fact that the locker room wanted that guy under center?
A lot. It is important because when you're in training camp and the veteran players are gravitating to a young player and a young rookie, and all of a sudden they are saying things in their press conferences and they are giving him his flowers, but not disrespecting the starter and Andy Dalton, but certainly sending a message to let everybody know that this guy, Jay, is probably the best guy that gives us the chance to win. Mm-hmm. And when you insert him into the lineup, it's an electrifying energy. Some people just have that it factor.
GJ and Max, mornings on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
At Lion Up Football, the way to follow Southeastern football over on Twitter. And, of course, you can always go to the school's athletic website, lionsports.net. Head coach Frank Selfo joins us for the top of the 2 o'clock hour on Tuesdays. Coach, thank you as always. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, man. Just getting ready for practice.
Look at you. Just all business. All business. I was going to talk to you about the nice weather coming up. I was going to talk to you about being back in Strawberry Stadium. All worried about the McNeese Cowboys. Coach, 51-14. What did you think of your team's effort last week?
I thought we played well. I think defensively we really played well. I thought we stepped up, especially up front. I was happy to see that. You know, we had been we've kind of been up and down, a little inconsistent, but we played a lot better last week against the run and held Northwestern in check for the most part. And because they got there's some things that they do that cause some problems, and mm-hmm. but our guys responded well.
In your wins, 49-56, 38-58, 61, 51 of the points you scored, even in the game you lost at Tech, it was 42 points you guys put up. What's been consistent about your offense to be able to put up that kind of points?
You know what we're doing? I think we're executing at a high level. We're not a, and I say that we're not a team of innovation. We don't. We're not a gimmick football team. We're an execution football team. And I think what our guys are doing right now between practice and our preparation during the course of the week, it's allowing us to play a little bit faster on Saturdays because mm-hmm. we know what we're doing. We know how to do it well. And why it's important to do it the way we're doing it. And I think that's why we're getting the results that we're getting.
Speak with head coach Frank Selfo of the Lions. I started there, coach, because I got to imagine that helps the other side of the football when you know that offense can put up points and you can, you know, kind of, I wouldn't even say play relaxed perhaps, but you put up a couple of goose eggs second and third quarter, you know, Northwestern State doesn't score. How do you think your defense kind of benefits from a team that, look, is putting up, you know, over 40 points a game?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a team game, obviously.
Sure.
You know, we got to do what we do on both sides of the ball. But at the same time, you know, there's a feeling of comfort that if we get a couple of stops on defense offensively, we can go down and score. And they know that. So you see, I think the camaraderie on our team, sometimes teams are divided offense and defense, and there's a little friction there, and ours isn't. Ours is a very close-knit group, and they pull for each other.
Four games left, Coach. Three will be at Strawberry Stadium, including this Saturday. You sit atop the standings thanks to McNeese taking care of UIW. So, look, you're at the top of the standings. You still got plenty of games to go, including next up a team that knocked off one of those teams that was up the top with you.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a week-to-week deal. I mean, that's how it is at every level. If you start looking ahead, you'll forget what you're going to stub your toe, and that just can't happen. We got to play well here. We hope the crowd we hope we have a fantastic home field advantage because of our crowd and our students, and we make a lot of noise. But we got to play well. Our preparation this week is going to help determine how well we play on Saturday, because they're coming in. They've got a lot of confidence. They're playing well. They're starting to find their identity. And it's going to be a heck of a matchup for us.
I was going to say, Coach, they're 3-4 overall, but they've won two straight. So what have you seen in the victories at Northwestern State and against Incarnate Wood? Like, why are they playing better football, do you think?
Yeah, I think they found their identity, Gus. Like mm-hmm. I said, offensively, they know who they are, and they got a great leader in Cordy Orgeron. He's been there a long time, and he's a really highly competitive guy. And then on defense, they probably got one of the best defensive players in the country in Jeremiah Chambers, and their defense really rallies and runs to the ball. They run well. They're aggressive. They play physical brand of football. And you're starting to see them. They did a lot of stuff early in the year, kind of like they were searching, but now you start to see them settle in on both sides of the ball, and I think that's why they get the production they're getting.
When you take a look at a team like this here as well, too, I mean, you're familiar with a lot of those players. You mentioned some of those guys kind of scattered on offense and on defense, too. It probably is one of those weeks, not that every week isn't a challenge for coaches to get guys, you know, locked in and focused, but I got to imagine your football team knows what to expect this weekend.
Oh, yeah, we're locked in. We're locked in and we're focused. They know, you know, last three times we played McNeese, they've been decided by one possession. And, you know, we expect the same thing again this week. It's going to be we're going to have to play well for 60 minutes. We're going to take care of the football. All the coach speak things that you think, mm-hmm. you know, you just talk about. But it's true. Those are facts. And that's what we've got to be able to do this week for us to be able to come out on top.
All right. Well, Coach, 6 p.m., Strawberry Stadium at McNeese. What do you want to tell the fellow Lions about the kind of game we're going to see? And then what time they show up? What time should they start tailgating?
come on out. Start drinking early. Bloody Marys will start flowing about 10, I would imagine. Maybe 11. I don't know. Mimosas, and then jump to the beer, and then get in here for 5:30. We come out of the tunnel, and let's go, man. You know, it's going to be – I'm just hoping the atmosphere. I know the weather's going to be gorgeous. LSU's off, so all those people, we should get some of them. Tulane's playing at, I think, 11 o'clock or noon. Mm-hmm. After that game, drive on up. And let's have a hell of a crowd over here at Strawberry Stadium.
Head coach Frank Selfo. And not only do I enjoy talking football, you just gave him he gave me a menu how to start my day and how to eventually get to 5:30, 6 p.m. See, I try to tell my intern the same thing. You can't go with the fireball at 10:30, 11 o'clock. You need to get ready and be awake and not want to nap by 5:30, 6 o'clock, coach. So thank you for helping me tell the intern how you get started and how you get going there.
Gus, there's a whole lot to be said for experience. You know that. So just get those interns the right thing, man.
I love it. At lionsports.net is the athletic website for Southeastern University. And, of course, you can go check them out over on Twitter, as always, at Lion Up Football. And on Tuesdays, before the top of the 2 o'clock hour, head coach Frank Selfo makes a little time for us. Thank you, as always, Coach.
Appreciate you, Gus. Thank you so much, man. Looking forward to seeing everybody.
For sure. Take care. All right, go check out the game again coming up against McNeese, and that is at 6 o'clock. And should be fun. And, again, you heard that, Jordan. You heard how you do it. You don't do the fireball, man. At 9:30, 10 o'clock, not on the 6 o'clock kickoff, man. I don't care how young you are. Plus, by the way, you're not as young as you used to be there, spring chicken. Hour number 2 is in the books. When we come back, hour 3, we'll speak with Eric Alexander, national champion of your LSU Fighting Tigers. We'll go over the Ole Miss. And what do you do during the bye week here as well? But first, to give me few minutes here just to remind you, please, please, please go download the DraftKings app. You can make a little side change here, especially with the holidays coming up. November is next month. The Black Friday deals are already out everywhere. I guess that's the new thing. Guarantee Black Friday prices today before Black Friday. I don't get it. Anyway, if you need some extra change, try DraftKings. You already watch the games. You like fantasy sports. Combine them both, right? Download the DraftKings app. Put in the code LaRose, and you get a free shot at millions in total prizes. Plus, it's simple. We can do it with football, or you can do it now with basketball, as the hardwood action has started. So grab your pro basketball players, stay under the salary cap, and rack up points with threes, rebounds, assists, and more. Super easy. You know how to do this. Start your lineup, stay under the cap, see if you win. It's that easy. Plus, DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want with Jordan. There's no promises, especially if he's doing fireball at 9:30 in the morning for a 6 o'clock kickoff. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.